Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. All right.
Okay. Let's get into some music here. Let's play "Listen" by Marvin Sapp, and then "No Greater Love" by Smokey Norville.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, or no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, you didn't work, no. You put him second, yeah, and put you first. Thought they had your back, oh. And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack, yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say, see, the devil is alive. No, I'm not gonna die. It's okay to cry, let me by your side. Gotta stop that hating, I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, girl. Speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh.
Listen.
Amen. Until the very end. Jesus prays for unity. Realizing that he's about to leave his disciples, Jesus offers prayers to his Father on their behalf. The prayer begins in verse 1 and continues throughout the chapter, ending in verse 26. So unity is a recurring theme throughout the prayer. Jesus wants to make sure that when he's gone, his disciples stay together and remain focused on carrying out God's wishes. With the trials and tribulations that Jesus knows they are going to encounter, he wants to be certain that they remain united, except for Judas, who knew Jesus knows will betray him. And defining unity, unity is defined as a state of being one. The Bible has a lot to say about unity among believers. As Christians, we are supposed to be united because we share the same two primary goals. One, to glorify God, and two, to serve others. As we navigate through a simple world, we need to encourage one another to stay on the right and narrow path that leads to salvation. There's a common law. There is a beautiful hymn called A Common Love, written by Charles F. Brown. This hymn talks about the unity that Christians should have with one another. The lyrics from the chorus of that song are provided. A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength for our worry, a common hope for tomorrow, and a common joy in the truth of God's word. This song highlights six precious things the Christians have in common. That's a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond, a common strength, a common hope, and a common joy. United by our love for Jesus, we will, while we may come from different backgrounds, speak different languages, and look different, we are united in our love for Jesus, and that is what is important. Jesus teaches us that we have in common is far more important than any differences we may have. The Bible has a lot to say about unity. For today's lesson, we will highlight the following five verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. To sum up, all of you harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, be all these things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. In Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and God of love and peace will be with you. So let us conclude. Approximately one-third of the world's population identifies themselves as practicing some form of Christianity. That represents more than 2.5 billion people. With differences in language, geography, and culture, how can so many people be united? The answer is that we are united by what we have in common, a common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond, a common strength, a common hope, and a common joy. Our unity comes not from ourselves, but from our shared love for the Lord. We will conclude today's lesson with the following words written by the Apostle Paul in his letter to Philippians. It reminds us that Christians are supposed to be of the same mind, maintaining the same love, and be united in the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and sent on one purpose. Amen. I hope tonight's lesson was a blessing to you, and you got something from it. Amen. Well, let's get into the altar call for tonight. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you got a chance to do so right now. All you have to do is simply say this simple little prayer to me, and Jesus will come into your life. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we'd like to welcome you into the family of God. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said that prayer, we want you to call into area code 657-383-1487. Once again, our number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key, and we'll bring you on the air. Well, we got some callers. I don't know if they're going to be good tonight. I'm going to take them one more night, okay, and see who we have. 111. Okay, silly caller. 111. Oh, no, silly caller. We got 289. You're on air.
Yeah, I'm a silly caller, too. You know?
Oh,
dumb as a stump.
Man, really?
Yeah. And as good as a bump on a log on the bottom of the sea.
Okay. Well, bless you anyway, sir.
It's Kent.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Kent? I didn't recognize your number. Did you get a new
yeah,
number?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. So
oh, well.
I've had this number for a few years, so I guess that's how long it's been since I've called in.
it's been a long time. I'm glad you're here, Pastor Kent. So what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, for the past, I've been going through a lot of pain with my back and with the cyst on my leg. So Sunday, I went in and had an operation to have it removed, and I've been recuperating ever since.
Well, I'll keep you in my prayers, as always. Are you going to be doing a show this Friday?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I didn't do one on Sunday because we spent most of Saturday in bed in pain, lying there trying to get some relief from my back and from my cyst. And Sunday I finally broke down and went to the hospital. And from 3 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, I was in the hospital. And they took the cyst out. And on Tuesday, I got my medication. It's Monday was a holiday, so I couldn't get it until Tuesday.
Yeah.
I've just been recuperating.
Well, like I said, I'll keep you in my prayers. I want to apologize, Gage, to you for not being there Saturday. I couldn't get no sleep Friday night, and I ended up sleeping right through your show on Saturday, and I didn't get a chance to do John chapter 14.
Pastor Ken, Dr. Ken, there is no sorry needed. It's not. Things happen. You have a lot of health issues. I have a lot of health issues. So I saw your apology on Facebook and in the chat. That was more than sufficient. You don't have to be embarrassed. I mean, we're both old folk, and sometimes our bodies just don't want to move. As a kid, I used to love Rice Krispies. Now, today, I don't need Rice Krispies because every morning I get up and I sap Crackle Pop, so I have Rice Krispies every day.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know what you mean by Snap Crackle Pop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you and I are right around the same age, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be turning 63 this year.
Yeah. I just turned 58.
Well, happy birthday.
No. I appreciate it. My wife, she's 60 years old, and she has more energy than you and I combined together. I mean, she's like a little energizer bunny. She gets up in the morning and it's gone. You know, me, I get up in the morning and sweat. Stretch and crack and pop and snap. And then maybe an hour, 2 hours after my one or two coffee pots, I'm able to function.
Wow.
Until I fuel that and get my go-go energy juice, no, I can't function.
Yeah. I like coffee myself, but I decided to, and along with Tony F here, we decided to go decaf, okay? We're doing too much caffeine.
I get why you did that, but I'm sorry. There ain't no way on this earth that you're ever going to get me to drink decaf. I've had it before, and it's disgustingly bitter, and it just turned me right off. So the only thing close to decaf I would even try, it's a brand of coffee, and it's called Caf Free. It's put out by the Mormons. That's the only thing I would drink besides coffee.
Caf Free, I've never seen it.
Well, you probably wouldn't unless you're in touch with a Mormon person. The Mennonites or the Jebusites, no, Jebusites is not the right word, Mormons, there's two kinds. There's Mormons, then there's, they both use horse and buggy. They do all their work by hand. They don't agree with farm equipment. Amish, that's the one I'm thinking of, Amish.
Yeah,
and the Mennonites, the Amish and the Mennonites, they may have it. I don't know. But I know the Mormon store, they do.
Yeah. I don't think we have a Mormon store around here in San Antonio, Texas.
Probably not in your neck of the woods. Probably not. They probably chase him out of town.
Probably. I know there's Mormons in Texas.
Yeah.
But I don't know about any stores. I haven't heard of it.
It's actually online. You can get it online. No.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, we got some more callers here, Dr. Chant. Let's see who they are, if they're going to be any good. 111, you're on the air. Okay. No. I don't know why they do that. You don't take callers anymore.
I do, and I don't. If I know the number or I know somebody's calling in and they tell me in chat, I will take the call. There's conditions. No tomfoolery, no childish behavior, serious inquiries and questions only. Now, if we do have a lot of callers, what I do is I'll put music on, and I'll go to the back town, I'll check, and if I get something like that, then I'll just won't take the call. And I have a list of numbers that have called that are children, and I don't take them anymore. So when I go on the back channel and I go through my lists and I see, okay, yeah, well, guess what? You don't get on. Because I just had too much. And it got to the point that I almost quit doing Blog Talk. But because my panel stood behind me, we stayed on.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 90% of the reason why we're still on. Because I was ready 6 months ago to hang it up.
Yeah. Because yeah, I've been here a couple of times.
Yeah.
Wanting to hang it up too.
Yep. Yeah, because of all the tomfoolery. And I keep saying to myself, the act of pretending to be somebody else is the highest form of flattery. I try to remind myself of that. But some of the devastating destruction that they've done, it's not good. Like, in the chat we have, there's somebody who says, they're my sister, Susan DeVay, who is, they're talking from hell. And I'm going, really? You're making fun of a dead person? Wow, your life is really boring.
I know. She comes on my show, too, and in the chat, and says things like that, which I think is pretty sad.
Well, for one, I was there when my sister passed. I know she's gone. And I was present and a part of her conversion and to her baptism. So I know
Amen.
She's in heaven.
Amen. So. All right, yeah. I said my prayers for your sister when she passed. Amen.
Oh, I know. I didn't even doubt that. No.
Well, amen.
I am sorry.
There's so many people that has passed away of you before us, and some of them were younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It makes you wonder why you're still here sometimes.
Well, I know the answer to that. My work down here is not done yet.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm going to keep doing
mm-hmm.
shows every night, okay? And hopefully I can save souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal, is to save souls.
Yep. I feel you on that one.
I had a Satanist call me. And asked me, could he be saved? And I said, at first I wasn't sure. Because, you know, Satanists, they blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They deny the Holy Spirit. But I talked to some other
mm-hmm.
pastors, and they said that, of course, he could be saved. Okay? What do you think about that?
There's a condition to that. I was a Satanist for 5 or 6 years. One of the things that you have to do as a Satanist when you join is you have to renounce Christ. Being Christian, you have to, or you're not accepted.
Yeah.
That being said, when I came back to Christ at the age of 30, I rededicated myself. And we know in the Bible, whatsoever you ask in my name, so shall it be given unto you. I asked for forgiveness, which I did, and redemption, which I did, and reaffirmed my conviction, which I did. That means he is bound, according to his word, to fulfill that prayer.
Amen.
So the answer is yes. That you have to rededicate yourself. So it's like being redeemed and coming back and reconciling yourself to him.
Amen.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I told him he could dedicate himself to the Lord, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I talked to over all the pastors, but he's not sure. Okay, he said he's going to
mm-hmm.
do some more research on it. But, you know, like I said, I hope and pray that he comes to the Lord.
Well, for one, we can plant the seed, but we can't cultivate it, and we can't water it, and we can't make it grow. Only one person can do that.
Yeah.
So, as long as the seed is planted, you know, we've done what we can do. One of my friends on Facebook, he's actually an atheist. And we've had many debates on the creation of the world. And he says, it just happened. I'm a mathematical person. Matter, antimatter, cannot move without being moved. It's impossible. Protons and neutrons cannot move without electrons. It's impossible. Didn't happen. You know? It didn't. And it's like this theory of evolution. We evolved from apes. Okay, that means that in the Bible, in Genesis, where it talks about Adam and God created him in his own image, so you're telling me that God was an ape and he created Adam as an ape to create the human race? How ridiculous does that sound? It doesn't make any sense, you know? And yet we hear of Jesus, who decades later became a man, came and lived on earth. Multiple people saw him. So what they were actually seeing was an evolution from an ape. No. That's not saying there's not different species in the world, because there is. Absolutely. Some that we don't see, some that we can't see, some that are here, some that are not. It makes sense. If you look at the hieroglyphics from years back in Egypt and the Mayan temples, there's symbols there that are old Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic.
Right.
So it's their theory of evolution basically goes out with the tidal wave, because it doesn't even make sense. Because if you take from that and you look at science only, science says we evolved from apes. So that means that they're talking millennia back. Who wrote the Bible? Apes wrote the Bible? That's kind of funny. Well, I don't either, but I'm just, you know, making light of the situation. You know?
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. And then people say, well, it's climate change. Okay. You're allowed to think that. You're allowed to have that opinion. But if you really want to come into reality, think about this. The Holy Bible that's been around for 1,000, 2,000 years on the New York bestseller list. Now, you tell me what book from 5 or 10 years ago is still there, yet the Holy Bible is. Look at that fire that happened. Everything around the church was devastated, burnt to crisp. The church stood firm. That should tell you something, people. It's basically like this. Even in dire situations, God can prevail. People sit there and say, climate change, global warming, economy. It's all words to get away from who created this world. And people are accepting this. It's sad and very disheartening. But it goes with the old saying, Pastor Ken. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah, so true.
And when something's staring you in the face in pure black and white, and you sit there and deny it, you're one of two things, naive or gullible. It's one of the two. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
But yet, in the book of Revelation and in the book of Enoch, it foretells of a time that people will leave their first love. They will deny. They would sooner be socially accepted than be a standing, steadfast, unmovable for God. This world has become complacent. Powers that be say is. It's disheartening. It really is. It really is.
Yes, it is.
So, you got any callers there, Pastor Ken?
Yes, I do, actually. I got some 111 callers. I don't know if they're going to be any good, but we'll try them and see. 111. No good.
Okay.
Okay, another one, bad. Let's try another one.
Four.
Okay. I think we got to have a bad call out there.
Well, just for future reference, okay, and this is a thorn in your cap, if there are 111 callers, through my research, I found this out. One, they're trying to block their number. Two, it's a restricted number. Or three, it's a bot calling you, like a robot.
Oh.
And usually the ones that you get feedback, they're usually bot calls. Because that's where you get the feedback.
Yeah.
And it's usually somebody who's called the show that has had a bad experience. So they put the number in an automatic call, and every time you're on, that number calls you, but it blocks the number.
Mm.
On my computer,
yeah.
I have Norton 360, and
okay.
It tells me whenever these callers are there. It said this number, this email, this person is tracking you. And Norton blocks it. So they can't. I pay like $50 a month for my security on my computer.
You pay that much? Well, that's a lot.
Yes, but it does everything. Antivirus, malware, tracks my email. So if anybody gets feedback or tries to loop into it, it blocks it. It blocks all unknown sites, like not reputable sites. It blocks them all. So yes, I pay a lot, but it saves me a ton. I didn't have.
Have you ever hacked a person?
Have I ever been hacked before? Is that what you're asking?
No, have you ever had Capersi's security?
No. 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 I looked into it, and I found that I went to the best malware protector, virus checker that there is, and Norton was the top one. So that's the one I chose. Because it blocks everything.
Before I had Capersi's.
And the reason I pay so much for my security on my computer is I've been hacked 4 times. The first time, they sent me a Trojan virus. The second time, they basically fried my computer. The third time, they destroyed my hard drive. The fourth time, they destroyed the whole system. Everything just shut down. I was working away on the computer, and the computer went boop and back on. And I started typing something. I was doing a message, and the computer went blank. It just died. I took it to the computer store, and the guy said, "This is what happened. They've got into your system, and they wiped the whole system. They've taken everything that's on your system, and they wiped your hard drive. They wiped your whole computer and your backup and everything. They sent you a virus." So now I pay a lot for my security, but rest assured, it ain't going to get any easy. Because every time somebody goes to come into my email, or they go backtrack me or get them through a back door with Norton, I get a pop-up. "This person, do you know this person? Email such and such. Do you know who this is? They're trying to come in. They're trying to get into your hard drive." And if I say yes, it will let it come. But 99.9% of the time, I say no. And they block them.
Well, I might look at
that.
So,
yeah. Norton does everything. And it does spam. It does scan. It does defrag. It does data reboot. It does memory boot, driver boot, driver updates. It does it all. I don't have to worry about it. It's called Norton 360. It's the best one that's out there. And I've read the comments and the customer reviews. They're all glowing. Now, there are a few that are, you know, kind of bad. But you know what? 90% of it is all positive stuff. So I'm like, why would I not take a chance? You know? And after losing two computers and two laptops, is there any wonder why I pay so much?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. We got another caller here. Well, I guess it's either 857 or 357. I'm going to take it and see who we have.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the air.
Well, good evening. Hello.
Hey, Jimbo.
Hello. Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I heard some weird stuff about like a a boycott and you being replaced or you are replaced or something like that, but that's not why I'm calling in. The reason why I'm calling in is because so that Norton 360 antivirus, I believe it's called, that blocks a lot of, like, the doxy stuff, backdoor, all that other stuff there. Most of those things, though, are generated from pornographic websites. So if you're participating in viewing pornographic material, that usually happens like that.
I'm married. Not a question.
I mean, but there are married men that do watch porn, or maybe the wife is watching But you never know if someone's just going to sit down with a nice dozen of sugar cookies and watch pornography.
I figured that.
Awful. You should stop watching porn. It's ungodly.
Yeah, well, God bless you too.
I didn't sneeze, dipshit.
Okay, Jabel, be nice.
I'm sorry. I just don't like him. He watches porn, he eats sugar cookies, and he masturbates on the air, and then you get blamed for it. It's terrible. Good night.
Good night, Jabel.
They never quit.
I don't know. It's crazy. Well, I'm going to end the show tonight. I'm going to say bless you, Pastor Kent.
God bless you, my brother.
I keep you in my prayers, and along with your wife. Okay, everything goes well for you. Maybe we can set up another so I can preach for you on your show. Maybe this Saturday coming up.
Sure.
We'll do a chapter on John. I don't know which one yet, but I'll know closer to the time.
Seeing as you've already got a Book of John study started, why don't we start in one?
Go back to the beginning?
No.
I can do that.
Because you know more about the Jewish part of it than I do. I mean, what I've learned from you, so it's like that'd be worth something. Worthwhile, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll do that. We'll start it back with John 1. That sounds like a good idea.
I mean, because tonight you did a message on tongues, so... and then you can pop your show, Wine, also, as well, so that you get ratings as well. That way, if they want to continue on John, they can follow you, or they can stay on the program, on the channel with us, and start from the beginning.
Amen.
It's up to them.
Amen. Okay.
Because there's nothing wrong with studying John numerous times, you know?
Yeah. I've also got studies on Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Romans, Corinthians, Hebrews, Revelations. And I was going to continue on with those. Okay, as I go through the motions on Blog Talk here. Like I said, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. God bless you. I'll be on tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hopefully with Pastor Wanda. Okay, she says she's going to join us. Oh, and we got a caller here at 856. Let me bring him on. 856. You're on here.
Come on! Look here, man. This is Pastor Leroy Jackson from the Bronx, man. You know I had to call in tonight. You know I had to. Pastor Ken, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, Pastor Leroy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, but I understand you got a guest on tonight that I want to talk to who's been ignoring me. Been ignoring me for about 10 weeks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Kent.
Yes?
What's your story, man?
For one, this is not a public forum. I'm not about to air my dirty laundry for nobody.
People
don't care if you
want to
make
know,
a
man. Don't
listen
give me that.
To me.
People want to know.
I don't care what people want to know. I don't.
Of course. That's why your show is going down the toilet, man. Because ever since
you
I
know
left.
What? You know what, Pastor Leroy? I'm not
what?
Getting into this, okay? If you want to talk to me, you know how to talk to me. You can talk to me through my email. You can talk to me through my phone. But I'm not airing my dirty laundry for nobody so they can twist
you
it and manipulate
don't.
It.
Listen to me, man. You don't pick up my calls. You don't take my texts. You don't answer my texts. I just sent you one a couple days ago.
Yeah,
don't
yeah, sure.
Me, man. There's
yeah.
no other way to talk to you, man, because you avoid me at every possible call.
Okay. You have a right to your opinion. I'm not getting into a debate here. Okay, this is, you know, not the time and the place. Bye.
Yeah, Pastor Leroy. Okay, Pastor Chantler. Okay.
And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why he left, Pastor Ken. Because Pastor Kent knows that I know, and he knows that I could let it out at any time, and I don't do that because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to air people's dirty laundries, man. Pastor Kent and I were like brothers for many months, man. I ran his show for 6 months. It got the highest ratings it ever received in the history of the show. Then suddenly I left the show, and all of a sudden everybody else started leaving the show. Now he has no show. So I'm trying to help him out. But he won't take my phone calls. He won't receive any of my texts or return them. Guess who's calling me right now? Guess who's calling me right now on my cell phone, man? Guess who's calling me right now? It is Pastor Kent. He's calling me right now, but you know what? I'm not going to pick it up because I'm still on your show. Can you hear the beeping?
Yeah.
That's him calling me right now. In fact, I just hung up on him. So let me say this. You know, Pastor Ken, you brought me on here 2 years ago almost now, man, and I appreciate everything you've done for me. And I sit on the side. A lot of times I don't get involved in your business. I know you got a lot of personal stuff going on right now. I don't know much about it. But, you know, whatever it is, man, between you and whatever's going on, with DC2 and all the others. And look, I got all respect for everybody, man. I don't want to make any enemies. I'm too old for that shit. But let me say this, and then I'm going to go. I want you to know, my brother, that I stick by you, man. You and Tony Farrar.
I appreciate that, Pastor, everyone. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate you taking my call. You have a great night, my friend. We'll talk again.
You too. You too, brother. All right. Got another call here, 970. Okay, let's see what we have.
Hey, President, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I got a couple of beers in me.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, what's up? How's you, bud? This is Jesus. And have you ever had some beer? Can you talk about it? That's good.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what's going on. I think Blog Talk is messing up here. It's hanging up on callers. Well, anyway, I want to say God bless everybody. And I'll see you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.